Just open it to 2 Kings chapter 4. And I want to read an account which I feel is very important for what God's doing in this hour. Father, we thank you for what you're doing. And we thank you that you are a living God who speaks to your people. Speak to us now. Speak to us spirit to spirit. As deep call unto deep, Lord. Speak to us in Jesus' name. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my 2 sons to be slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" She said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. When you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, with your sons. Then pour it into those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." I praise God for that oil, because in the scriptures, water, oil, and fire always represent the Holy Spirit. And that oil is always enough to meet every need. Holy Spirit is enough to meet every need in your life. Amen? But this is not primarily about, it is prophetically, but it's not primarily about the Holy Spirit. It's a message about faith. And it's very, very important that God's people be a people of biblical faith. Because Jesus, he's coming back soon. One of the questions he had, and it was a rhetorical question, the only thing that he was concerned about before he returned, he said, "Will I find faith on the earth when I return?" And there is a lot of confusion about biblical faith today because of we live in the age of, we've been victims of what I call the Enlightenment, what history calls the Enlightenment. About 200 years ago, men decided that reason was the greatest thing, if you like, about man. If something wasn't reasonable, it wasn't to be believed. And it went through this thing called the Enlightenment, went through the Western world, where people criticized the Bible and just threw out parts of the Bible which were not reasonable. And interestingly, this Enlightenment didn't go through the developing world, this went through the Western world, Europe. So today in Europe, there's a lot of unbelief, because unless something's reasonable, we will not believe it. And a lot of Christians are in the place where we believe that faith is not a supernatural thing. We believe a faith in God is something that if we have a problem, we believe we have a relationship with God, and in the midst of that problem, he will comfort us, and his comfort will make all the difference and see us through. Well, that is true. God does comfort us in our trials. But biblical faith is much more than that. The father of faith is Abraham. And we learn what faith is like through his life. And Abraham had a problem where there was no human solution. His wife was barren and she was postmenopausal. And God says, "I'm going to make a nation out of her." And he was called to believe, not for comfort in the midst of his suffering, but he was called to believe God for the impossible. God still today wants you to believe him for the impossible, because he is glorified in the impossible. Nothing glorifies God like a miracle, as Effiani just said. And this situation that I've just read is about a widow in the scriptures who was in a very, very hard place, Hallelujah. You know, I keep saying God loves a hard place. If you're in a hard place, God loves a hard place. He loves a hard place. He loves to inhabit hard places. He loves to work in a hard place. This woman was in a hard place because she was destitute and she had a large debt that she couldn't meet, and people, debt collectors, were going to come and take her sons. But she and her family, her husband had died, who was a prophet, they'd served God. So this family served God with their lives. And they came to Elisha, the man of God. And this woman, it says she cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. You know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slave." So Elisha said, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" She said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few." And then she was told to go and shut herself in and pour out the little oil she had. And as she poured that out, that oil out into the empty jars that were bought, the oil flowed. And it flowed and it flowed and it flowed and it flowed. What's the point? I want to tell you, there is a source which is of this world. And there's God's source. God's source, we only come into God's source of supply through faith. And God wants you to live from his source. He has an inexhaustible source of blessings for his children. But those blessings are only accessed by faith. And so God wants to meet your need. I want to tell you that oil, it didn't stop. It didn't stop flowing in the passage because the source went dry or the source dried up. It stopped flowing because of the people's capacity to receive was exhausted. Their capacity to receive from God by faith became exhausted, so they stopped bringing empty jars. God has a supply for you. God has blessings for you. God has goodness for you that he wants to release into our life. And we as people need to be able to have the capacity to receive from him by faith. He wants us to be able to receive from him by faith. And I want to show you that you may be here today. You may come and you say, "Well, I relate to that lady because I'm desperate, but I don't have very much." God takes your little. God takes your not very muches. And when we add faith to those, he turns them into abundance. But we have to put them in his hands and we have to trust him. Your little. See, what we're inclined to do, if we have a need, maybe it's a health need, maybe it's a family need, maybe it's a financial need, we're inclined to, when we have a great need, act in fear and hoard it. But this lady, her little, she had to put it into action. She had to put it in God's plan. She had to activate the little. She had to use the little before she came into God's abundance. And you have to trust God with the little. But I want to tell you, your little is massive in God's hand. The little that you have, it's what the Bible calls seed. When the boy just put a little fish and loaves into Jesus' hands, and when he surrendered the little to Jesus, was able to take that and multiply that and use that. And so we've got to put whatever little we have for coming to God's supply, God's provision for us. We've got to put the little that we have. We've got to completely surrender it, completely put everything we have into his hands, hand it all over, so that we're not holding anything back from him. And For this miracle to happen, I just want to make a point that we believe in the power of God. We believe God wants to do miracles today. This woman, she had a little bit of oil, and she was told that she had to go and get empty jars. She was told she had to go and get empty jars. In other words, she had to do something to make room for this miracle. It's always that way. We always have to do something, because faith without works is dead. God didn't say to this woman, you just sit in your room and pray and I'll fill your house with jars of oil. He didn't say that. He said, go to the community and gather jars. Gather jars, bring them into your house, these vessels which would hold what God was about to do. And sometimes God, before he moves or before he's going to, for instance, solve a financial issue for you, he might tell you to open a bank account or to start a website or something like that. He'll actually ask you to create a vehicle from which he could bless you through. The Bible says God doesn't give them wealth. He gives them power to create wealth. And so she had to get these oil, these jars, bring them in, and make room for God to move. But she had to do that with an expectancy that God would move. And I want to tell you, the greater part of faith is expectancy. The greater part of faith is knowing that God not only can. A man came to Jesus once, said, I know you're able to meet me, my need, but are you willing? We have to believe God is not only able, but he's willing to meet our need and be expected to meet our need. Now, I want to touch so in and tie in the testimony we have from Egypt in all this. Because this lady did not wait for the oil to start flowing before she bought the jars. She poured the oil out first, and the oil flowed. And she acted as though, this is what faith does, she acted as though there was an unlimited supply to meet her need. She got pots, and we want to actually see, we actually want to actually see God do something before we will act. But she acted, and then she saw. For instance, I'll give you a testimony. God will often speak to us. God spoke to her and said, I'm going to solve your need. God will often give us a word, and we'll think, oh, I actually know what God wants me to do, but there may not be provision, or there may not be something that is needed for that to happen. For instance, when God told us many years ago to go and do these meetings in foreign lands, it cost a lot of money to do some of those meetings. And there's a temptation to say, well, when we get the money, we'll do the meeting. But that's not how God moves. When God actually sees, he gives us the word, and it's as we act in obedience to that word, as we step out and do that word and act upon that work, that his provision follows. So he doesn't tell us to do something and we wait for him to provide and then we do it. He tells us to do something, and then we act as though the provision is there. That's what faith is. We act as though the supply is flowing. We act as though there's unlimited supply for our life. And God meets that act God meets that faith with actual help. And I want to tell you this crusade we've just done now. I had a word. Actually, three times God spoke to me. And even before I left, a lady from Gwendolyn rang me and said, "These meetings are going to be meetings of signs and wonders." And we can go over there and say, "Well, God, we're going to pray, we're going to ask and believe God to do signs and wonders." But that falls short of really trusting God and biblical faith. What we did when we had that word that these would be meetings of signs and wonders, three times it was confirmed. I spoke to the pastor and he said, "Okay, we are advertising these meetings as signs and wonders meetings. We're actually saying in our advertisement that signs and wonders are going to happen in this meeting. We are proclaiming that miracles will happen." This is not presumption. This is having heard from God what he's going to do. We actually proclaimed it, that signs and wonders would happen. And I want to tell you what happened. The first night we got there, nothing happened. We just preached the gospel. There was a sense of God's presence, but nothing really happened. The second night, the pastor said to me, he said, "We," in his own language, he said, "You know, we're not here to sort of do a meeting and believe God and sort of say, well, God's moving and the wonders will happen later." He said, "We are expecting to see miracles here because I just know God wants to do miracles at this time. There's so much religion in Egypt. There's so much the Coptic church, the Orthodox church. It's such a powerless gospel. This man's a man of the Holy Spirit." He said, "I know God wants to do miracles here." And so he said, we need to see miracles." There's a little bit of pressure there, but the pressure's on God. And so we said, "Okay, we're going to have miracles." And so we preached miracles, we prophesied miracles, we prayed miracles, we declared miracles, we preached the gospel where Jesus did miracles, and we expected God to do miracles. And you know, when this woman, she made provision and made room for God to act by her actions. And she expected to God to meet that need. And when we do that, when we actually come to God with our lack, with our problem, with our needs, with our brokenness, and we actually back it up, that need, to God's great big inexhaustible supply of grace. And we actually back that need up. We put it there and we say, "I'm expecting you to meet it. God, I'm expecting you to meet it." And it's not presumption. It's what we've heard. It's what the Word of God has spoken into our hearts. And we leave it there. I want to tell you, like God filled those empty jars, God meets those needs. We prophesied, we decreed, we'd heard this is going to be a signs and wonders meeting. As Michelle just said, a girl was born into that meeting who had not walked. Now, I've not seen a miracle like this before. But she was 11 years old and had not walked. And her legs were withered. And when we were having that meeting, I heard in my voice, in my inner ear from God, he said, don't pray for her, just command her to walk. And so a very, very short prayer, we just walked over and laid hands on her. And according to the word of God that we'd said, we said, "In Jesus' name, walk." And she walked. She got up and she walked. But I want to tell you, we praise God for that. I'm trying to say, we actually have to put ourselves in a place where God has to meet that need. We have to put ourselves in a place where we're not hoping, but we're expecting. And I want to just say quickly, I don't want to preach long today, church. This is a season God is doing more. One of the words I had when I went away was from Mark 16. And Mark 16 says, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples, baptize peoples, and these signs will follow you. Right? So I said to God, God, I'm making room, like this woman got her jars. I'm making room for you to move by going into the world. I don't have to, but I'm going to Egypt. And your word says that if I go into the world, signs and wonders will follow. And a little while ago, I preached on pressurizing the covenant. There's something God likes. There's something God likes when you take him at his word, and you take that word and you say, well, here I am. I'm in the nations. You said signs and wonders will follow. I'm putting that word right in front of you, and you're going to meet it. You're going to meet it. And see, this is the same with faith. If we with illness, there's so many words in the Bible. If for instance, if you're ill, we go to Exodus 23. It says, you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from you in the midst of you. If you fulfill that, you say, I serve God with my life. I obey him as best I can. I'm full on for God. I live for God. That's what it is to serve God. I worship him. I've surrendered my life to him. You can take that word and say to God, God, I serve you. If sickness comes, I'm taking my need to you, and I'm backing my need up to you, claiming by the word of, claiming by the promise of God that you will meet my need with your power. I want to tell you, God is faithful to meet that need. God is faithful to meet that. And in this hour we're living in now, God is increasing. He's increasing his power and his goodness. But you know, we need to act on that word. We need to be expected, and we need to act on that word. You know, the book of Acts is only written because somebody finally acted. All those miracles are in there. For 5 years, the church just sat in Jerusalem. They were told to go into all the world, and these miracles would follow them. But for 5 years, they just sat in Jerusalem until God allowed Stephen to be martyred. They scattered, and then all the stuff happened because finally they acted on what God had said. This woman, she was told, get the jars. She acted upon the word. This is what faith is. And then she came with expectancy that having done the word, God would meet her with actual help. You know what the religious spirit always wants? When we're in Cairo this time, by the way, I can't tell you what Cairo's like. We went from meeting to the hotel to the meeting, and God was moving so much in these meetings that we just couldn't be taken anywhere else. They'd planned to take us and see the Nile. We're only 10 minutes from the Nile River. I didn't even see it. Every spare minute we're in meetings and praying for people, right up to God was moving so much, and the news spread that God was doing so much that even on the way to the airport, people were calling it on the mobile phone from 3 hours away, asking us to pray for, you know, all sorts of cancers and goodness knows what, because there was such an expectancy of the people that God was moving, if God was going to move. That they had actually decreed that this would be a signs and wonders meeting. They'd actually made room for it. With the declaration, they'd made room for it. They'd got the jars, if you like. They'd bought the jars with their advertising, and they just backed the need up to the truck. And they said, God, God's going to meet this need. And I want to tell you, church, he did. You know, there's a risk when you do that, isn't there? There's a risk. There's something on the line when you believe in God. There's something of ourselves on the line. I give another example of this. Twice now, we've tested God in this. When we were a small, very small church over at Erina, John's not here today, but you can ask him when he's here. And God spoke to me and he said, I've given you light. Now I'm going to place you in the darkest area in Gosford. And we were over there at Erina where it was quite pleasant, nice. And then we moved our church next to the homeless restaurant where most Sundays I would pick up syringes before the meeting started. And so we lost a lot of people, or some people we lost when we moved here. But we were a church in those days that just used to hire a hall for like $150 or whatever it was on a Sunday. We didn't have a lot of money. But God spoke to me, said, you're going into Gosford. Our rent for the first year was $60,000. What did I have? I had the Word of God. It could never, ever, ever, ever fail. All we had to do was make room for that Word. Let me tell you, at the end of that year, we walked into the church. We signed up in May. By December, we'd met all the bills and we had $50,000 extra to do crusades. If you ask John Parsons how the money came, how, he said, I don't even know. He said, I won't do a budget. He said, it's the economy of God. Why? There is a source that is not of this world. There is a source that God has to meet every one of your needs, be it the emotional needs, be it family needs, being health needs. And you may think, I don't have anything and I'm desperate. I want to tell you, just give whatever you have to God. Surrender the whole thing to Him. Do what He tells you to do and expect Him. Expect Him to do exceedingly abundantly above your wildest imagination. Expect Him to do what no man can do. This book is full of His promises. And He wants to speak to you today. And He doesn't want us to be a people who fall short of biblical faith. He doesn't want us to be a people who live in the realm of hope, but not faith. You know that there's a time in 2 Kings chapter 13. This lady had to bring jars. Those jars represent expectancy. They represent expectancy and action that God's going to move. And that the oil only stopped when the jars stopped being bought. There's another story in 2 Kings 13 where Elisha tells the king. He says, King, the king's in a battle and he's fighting enemies. And he says, King, this is a strategy. Take this arrow and strike the ground. And in both cases, Elisha didn't tell the lady how many jars to bring. And Elisha didn't tell the king how many times to strike the ground. But because the king wasn't that enthusiastic about believing God for miracles, believing that through this simple act, in obedience to the word of the prophet, that God would destroy his enemies. That simple act, he wouldn't have a supernatural faith. He just struck the ground 3 times. And Elisha said to him, because of that, you'll have 3 temporary victories and God will not totally destroy your enemies. We can be people like that. We cannot want to believe God for the supernatural power and provision and resource that comes by simply believing His word and being expectant that He moves and not being enthusiastic for a supernatural gospel, we pay a great price. We get temporary victories rather than permanent deliverance. But God wants us to be a people who know this word. His word will never, ever, ever fail. To expect it to perform and perfect for you. Be enthusiastic. Make room for God to move in this hour. Expect. Just expect the impossible. You know, if you have a need, if you're a desperate place, the place to go is this book. The place to go is to seek a word from God. And then when he speaks, fully expect. Don't try to limit him with your mind. Just fully expect him to perform that word. And I want to tell you, our God is a God of miracles. Our God is a God of the impossible. Let's not settle as a church for rejoicing about things that we could do without the Holy Spirit. This is a season to expect God to do more. You know why it's important to expect God? You know why it's important to do signs and wonders? Sometimes signs and wonders, the only thing that convert people. Nebuchadnezzar, he had a hard heart. But he said, when I saw these men thrown into the fire and come out unsinged, then I believed. What is your need today? What is your need? And who are you trusting? What are you trusting for to meet that need? Is it anything but God? Is it anything but his promise? Maybe it's a family situation. Maybe it's a financial situation. The Bible says, all my hope is in you. All my hope. Do you think it's too hard for God? Do you think it's too much to God? Do you think it's too complicated for God? Do you think it's not spiritual enough for God? Maybe you think you're not important enough for God. I want to tell you, God wants to show himself great to you. God wants to show himself almighty to you. God wants to show he loves you so much, like that widow, that he meets everything, every need according to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus. The Bible said he became poor so that you could become rich in every way. Rich in every way. Father, I lift up this church today. I lift up the people of God here today. Those who serve you. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, as those empty vessels were placed before you. Lord, your provision flowed. Father, we come to you today. We give every element of our life to you. Every little thing we give to you, we surrender in your hand. And we praise you, Lord, that you know how to fill empty vessels. Father, I pray for the faith of everyone here today. Anyone whose faith is weak, Father, I ask that you strengthen it. Father, I ask that you open our ears to what you're saying. Father, I ask that you would bring us to the place of faith and expectancy. Expecting you to answer our needs, our heartaches, our cries, that we will not limit the Holy One of Israel, that we will not think naturally when you want us to think supernaturally. Father, I thank you. As that woman moved, as that woman put her faith on the line, as that woman placed her expectancy with you, you met her with actual help. Father, help every desperate widow here today. Help every desperate situation today. As we put our trust in you, help people's finances. Help people's marriage. Help people's family situations. Help people's business. Lord, help us. help us. You are delighted to help us. Help us with your abundance. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in this hour. We thank you, you're meeting needs as the people trust you. Strengthen our faith. Strengthen our faith.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen, church. God is moving. You know, I just want to say also that oil does represent the Spirit of God as well. It always does. And maybe you, just to finish, you feel that maybe you knew the anointing of God on your life, but you feel it's just not there anymore. You need more. That oil flows. It flows always as long as empty vessels are presented in front of it. The anointing always flows when people just come before God and say, I can't do anything of myself, but I need you. I need you. I need you. God will give you a fresh filling. God will give you a fresh anointing because he's good and he's able and he's willing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Church, expect the increase. God is moving. Let's praise him. Give him thanks for what he's doing.
Thank you.